I'm sure most of us driving down the road at certain times has seen some very interesting driving habits. You know, kind of like, I'm not talking about you yet, Barney. You might be passing somebody who's got both hands in front of their face, putting makeup on and driving with their knees because that's the only thing left to drive with. Or one of my favorites is you got the cell phone on speaker, but you got it right in front of your face. Or maybe you've even seen some guy going down the road shaving, looking in the mirror. That's not to mention no turn signals, slamming on the brakes to make your turn instead of going past, turning around and going in. Riding on your bumper, even though you're doing 5 and 10 miles over the speed limit. The problem is that those drivers aren't safe. They might think they're safe, but maybe because they haven't had an accident by doing these things in the past, they think they're safe. But that type of driving isn't safe. But when we see those drivers, do we sometimes see ourselves? Do we drive sometimes in an unsafe manner, but still think that we're better drivers? What would it take for more people to drive safely? Would it be an accident? Well, 1973, I thought that. After my accident, but it only took me about 3 days to go back to my old habits. Maybe it would be an accident where somebody got hurt, or even worse, where someone that you love got killed. Now, a lot of the insurance companies today, they offer discounts, multiple driver discounts, multiple vehicle discounts. You watch the commercials and you got these safe driving discounts. And some of these multiple discount savings, they include our children. But the discount isn't given because our children have good grades or anything of that nature. It's because their parents haven't had any accidents on their record. And the reason why is because they believe that children will imitate their parents' driving habits. They say that imitation is the greatest form of flattery. But imitation is really the greatest form of education. A child learns by watching their parents. You know, you have boys that do what their dads do typically, and girls want to do what their moms are doing typically, and sometimes the roles get reversed. There are guys out there that are really good cooks because they spent time with their moms. And there are others, that girls that like driving race cars, and even young men that like to drive race cars because that's what their dad is doing. They always learn from someone they trust. To some degree, we mold our children's personality, their actions, their habits in life. Now, I'm not saying that our children are going to grow up to be just like us, but they will have many of our traits. And we're going to see both the good and the bad of us in our children. We might hear it in their words. We might see it in their actions. The bottom line is we probably realize where they got those habits from and those traits. By watching us. Paul in Ephesians 5 and verse 1, he says, "Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children." And for this evening, I'd like to start with the last part of that verse, as beloved children. As parents who want their child to grow up like them, and to be like them takes responsibility. God, in essence, is saying, I'm the parent, you are my child, imitate me. That word imitate in the Greek is mimetes. It is where we get our English word mimic. And God is saying, mimic me. And this is probably the hardest command in the Bible. And we can phrase it in a number of ways, but the most common phrase we find in Leviticus chapter 11 and verse 44, again in chapter 19 and verse 2, and in chapter 20, verse 7, where we get the phrase, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Now, that might be great. We can maybe say to ourselves, well, that's okay. That was given to the Jews. We don't have to pay attention to that. But Peter gives us the same admonition in 1 Peter 1, starting in verse 14 and reading through verse 16. Peter writes, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. As it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Our calling to be like God is a calling to separate us from evil. We imitate God by walking as God walks. We imitate God by separating ourselves from the evil that seems to want to always grab out and snatch our foot. And this is not a command that is easy. It is one of those commands that requires daily diligence. We can't just skate by and hope that we don't have any real problems. But we do have a role model that helps us to live differently. God, basically, he's saying, that's me. I will show you what I am like by becoming flesh and living among you. And then you can walk in my footsteps. Of course, you know I'm talking about Christ. In verse 2 of Ephesians 5, it says, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. We, whether sometimes we don't feel like it, we are loved by God. Our being chosen, our being blessed, proves that we are a rich child of God. Think about this. Our sins were abolished. We were set free. The other day when it got really hot outside, my trash cans, the house, they sit on the other side of the shed, kind of away from the house. And you can imagine when you have a little one that gets changed two or three times a day and it goes in the garbage, and of course, they make garbage cans black. I haven't figured that out. So it absorbs all the heat of the day, and it sits there pretty much in the sun. And of course, if you throw any food scraps or something in the garbage, you got that in there too, and it cooks. And you can imagine the smell, especially when you go to take the trash to the curb or you load it up to go to the dump. We have been freed from the smell of filth and garbage of the sin that was in our lives. And now, because we are in Christ, we are that sweet, pleasing aroma to God. And we know that because we saw it in Christ. And Christ taught us how to walk. If you could summarize God's character his attitude and his actions in just one word, that word would be love. John simply stated, God is love. And when John gave us that phrase, he did it in the same context that Paul writes in our text. Listen to verses 7 through 11 of 1 John chapter 4. I really love these verses. I love them a lot. Beloved, let us love one another for the love of God. For love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He that does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this was the manifest, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. If we want to imitate God, then the calling that John writes here is to imitate that love. That love seen in Jesus, who loved us so much and so completely that he was willing to have our sins placed on himself and to pay that price. You know, for the Roman world and for many of that day, the cross was a symbol of torture. But for us, it was a symbol of love and is a symbol of love. To love as God loves, to walk as Jesus loves, to live in that holiness and righteousness requires us to learn to love deeply. The idea of imitating God and walking in love really is the hardest command. But it can also be the most fulfilling in life. Now, there is a difference between a need love and a gift love. Our children expresses a need love. They want to be held. They want to be nurtured. They want to be played with. But Jesus expresses on the cross a gift love. That's imitating God. And that's what is the calling for us. The first aspect of learning to love is learning to love God first. There are a lot of things that we enjoy doing that God probably does not approve of. But it captures us at times. It lures us into this false sense of joy and happiness. But as we learn to love God first, we realize that these things and their false pretenses of love and joy is the things that drag us away from the real love and the joy that we find in the life that walks with Christ daily. And walks as Jesus walked. When you got the time this week, go back into the book of Acts and read the transformation of Saul, where he transformed himself from this evil man whose quest was to kill Christians into this tremendous apostle and missionary. He fell in love with God through Jesus Christ. He didn't fall in love with God through Jewish tradition and Jewish law. Paul lived his life imitating Christ. He loved others just as Jesus did. When you read his letters to Rome and to Corinth and all these other churches where there was backbiting and things going on, Paul spoke to them as a loving father. They were his children. He found the secret to a joyous and free life, and he wrote about it in Philippians 4. 11 through 13, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, I'll say that again, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am in to be content. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. And in every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger and abundance and need. I do all things through Christ which strengthens me. He learned. We can learn. We learn by imitation. Our children will follow our example. They will. To some degree, their speech will reflect our speech. You go in to some of these schools, or your children may have some friends who are growing up to where their parents are prolific swearers. Every third or fourth word that comes out of their mouth, you want to plug up your ears because there's only four letters in them. And you wonder why the children speak the same words, imitation. Their attitude towards others will reflect our attitude towards others. Their willingness to imitate God will reflect in how they have seen us imitate God. You know, one of the things I have learned from Kalen is not to use the word stupid or dumb. To her, those are bad words. I've tried to tell her, well, not all the time that I use it is bad. She does not want to hear it. Will these things cause us to reflect on our life? I hope so. Because the more that we can learn to live in that sacrificial love, not just love itself, but that sacrificial love, the same way that Jesus did, the better chance that we have of our children learning to imitate God. You know, the youth rally, I was told yesterday at Slater Marietta, the one reason that they wanted to look at and to have the rally revolve around apologetics is because our children are being turned away from God at an early age. And by the time they get into high school, they're straying further away, and by the time they're in college, they leave it altogether in a lot of cases. We only have just so much time with our children before they're off on their own. Who they will be, who they will become, is dependent on who we are and what we've become. Jesus gave us the human example of God's love. Let's get with the most difficult command and do our very best to imitate God. Let's walk in a love that is sacrificial. Let us walk in a love that longs for others to be treated better by us than we would our own selves. Let us be there and use that sacrificial love to provide comfort and hope and support. That is our calling today. If there is anyone here this evening who is in need of the invitation, if it is your desire to imitate God, but more importantly, if it is your desire to obey the gospel, we want to give you that opportunity this evening. If anyone has a need, anyone, won't you come as together we stand and we sing.